Hi, I'm John Weber, sitting in for Marian McPartland. And my guest today on Piano Jazz is vocalist, lyricist, consummate improviser, devoted mom, and teacher extraordinaire, Sheila Jordan.
Oh my goodness, what a buildup. I hope I can live up to it.
Welcome to Piano Jazz.
Thank you, it's wonderful to be here.
I must tell you first just how much respect and admiration I have for all the chances that you've taken in your career. Every stage of your career, you continue to take them. And you have been on the ground floor of more big risk moments in the history of jazz than anybody I can think of. And even as a teenager, you were listening to things that maybe your peers weren't listening to. Your fellow teenagers were probably listening to Glenn Miller and maybe even some of the great jazz bands like Ellington and Basie and Woody Herman and Stan Kenton. What were you listening to as a teenager in the 40s?
I was listening to Byrd when I was a teenager because I've been singing since I've been about 3 years old. It was just an outlet for me as a little kid, and I never knew what kind of music I wanted to sing until I took a break from high school, during my lunch hour, I should say, and I went downstairs and, you know, I was always playing music on the jukebox there, and I saw this this record. It said Charlie Parker and his Reboppers. And I said, oh, that sounds interesting. You know, I'll put my nickel in. And it was Byrd, and that was it. I mean, my whole body was shaking. I'll never forget it. I was just, you know, totally in shock over this music. And I said, oh, my God, I got a message. That's the kind of music I'll dedicate my life to, whether I sing it, whether I support it, or whether I teach it one day. That's the kind of music I want to dedicate my life to, and I've done that.
Well, you are extremely supportive of other musicians. Here you were going out to hear bebop, which in those days, I'm sure that was about a million light years off the radar screen from mainstream jazz, even.
Yes,
that was a brand new thing. So you were just exploring this, but you had a trio called, I think it was Skeeter, Mitch, and Jean, because Jean is Jeanette's your middle name, and you were writing lyrics for memorizing Byrd's solos, first of all, which was amazing enough, and then writing lyrics to Confirmation and other songs.
Well, the guys wrote most of the lyrics. I wasn't really into lyric writing, but I would help them in certain areas. I say, I don't think this fits, you know, but Yeah, we did do lyrics to Byrd solos. Skeeter and Mitch did a lot of lyrics, and they were the ones who helped me. They were the ones who taught me basically how to improvise, scat sing, you know. And, of course, listening to Byrd's music and trying to learn his solos was a big help. And having this tremendous love and addiction for bebop music, I found out that it all started with the blues, but I didn't know that at the time, you know. But through years of learning and checking out things, I got into the blues. I always liked the blues, but I never thought I could sing the blues, you know. So that's really what happened.
But you always sound very, very soulful on every recording I've ever heard of yours, and I would love to hear you do a blues if you, like, humdrum blues?
Yes, I'd like to do humdrum blues, the Oscar Brown Jr. And I have a wonderful pianist with me, dear friend and fantastic musician.
Yes, it is our blessed
do
good
you know
fortune.
Him?
Steve Kuhn, oh my God, he's
Steve
wonderful.
Kuhn.
It's amazing, brilliant man. There's so much musicality in this room, I'm humbled.
Well, we've worked together for a long time, so we'll do humdrum blues.
Beautiful.
Everybody gets the blues. I've had the blues most of my life. Haven't I, Steve Kuhn? Sometimes they're sad, sometimes they're glad, sometimes they're bad, sometimes they're mad, but I sure can get the blues. Life can be mighty monotonous. We're always battling boredom. Where tell me, where has it gotten us? Everything's still so doggone humdrum, stuck in a rug, getting nowhere fast. Whoa, humdrum blues, fighting the future and mad at the past. Oh, humdrum blues. Oh, buddy, when you ain't got money, then you just can't do as you choose. You gotta live with the humdrum blues. Each day's just like the day before. Oh, humdrum blues. I work like a dog, but I'm mighty poor. Oh, humdrum blues. Oh, buddy, it'll run you nutty when you find yourself in my shoes. Stumbling along with the humdrum blues. I don't know which way I'm going. I don't know which way I come from. Raining or shining or snowing, everything's still so doggone humdrum. Love me, honey, I wish you would. Oh, humdrum blues, sure would do me the world of good. Oh, humdrum blues. Oh, baby, if you love me, maybe we could get together and lose. These mean old to diddly do bite, you diddly loofa. Humdrum blues, humdrum blues, humdrum blues, humdrum blues.
Well done. Humdrum blues. Nice job. Beautiful.
Thanks. Thanks.
Love to hear you sing. Oscar Brown Jr., lyrics and music?
Yes.
Chicago man.
Oh, he's a real poet. I always thought he was a real poet. You know, that Sin and Soul album, that was a killer. I didn't really know Oscar that well. I met him in his later years, and we were supposed to do a concert together, but then he got very ill and passed on, so I never got to sing with him.
Well, you managed to meet just about everybody in the business because you come out to support everybody in the business, notably Charlie Parker when you were a kid, a teenager, at some clubs out in Detroit. And what was it like? I mean, you probably were too young to get into the club, so I would imagine that you probably met him at the stage door or something.
We did, the back doors. But sometimes he'd do, like, things at the Greystone Ballroom where they didn't serve alcohol, and those were like concert kind of things. And he did quite a few of those, so I met him there. We used to get up and sit in with him. He'd see us, and he'd say, come on up and sing with me. And we'd do that, me and Skeeter and Mitch. It was our thing. I was in shock. But that was the first time he heard me. He said, oh, you have million-dollar ears, kid. And I said, I don't know what does that mean, you know? But Bird was it for me and still is to this day. He's my total inspiration. I am so grateful and thankful for having known him. He was like my big brother. And I got to know him quite well after I moved to New York City from Detroit. But the thing in Detroit at that time was there was a tremendous amount of racial prejudice. And it was very difficult, you know, to hang out with the people that you wanted to hang out with. So I went through some pretty heavy stuff in those days, being a teenager and wanting to be around this music and not thinking in terms of color and not having prejudice, you know. So it was rough.
Yeah. Well, you always followed your heart and you followed your,
yes,
your heart's desire and your wishes and, you know, and Bird, as far as I understand, you told me that his appreciation for you was always strictly professional.
Absolutely.
In other words, he was your big brother. He approached you respectfully as a fellow artist. He,
I wasn't his type.
Well, I don't know. I mean, well, one of his rhythm section definitely took a fancy to you.
Who?
Piano player.
Oh, my God. I forgot all about him. I married him, for God's sake.
The father of Tracy, your beautiful daughter.
Yes.
Yeah, Duke Jordan. Tell me about Duke Jordan. Did you meet him in Detroit or out in New York?
I met him in Detroit when he was with Bird, yes.
Yeah. You met everybody. You came to everybody's gigs. Charles Mingus and Max Roach, is that about 1948 or so? What year did you move to New York?
About 49, I think.
49.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, they obviously recognized your prodigious talent and ability and your potential. When did they recommend Lenny Tristano as your theory coach?
Max, I saw Max, you know, a lot of times, and he recommended Lenny. I said, I'm looking for a teacher. And he said, well, why don't you go up to Lenny Tristano? He's teaching now, so that's what happened. I went to Lenny.
Describe a Lenny Tristano piano lesson. What was that like, or a theory lesson? What would you do?
Oh, well, the first time I went to Lenny, he said, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to learn this bird solo. So he put the record on, and I said, well, I know it. he said, you do? I said, yeah. He said, well, sing it. So I sang it to the best of my ability. And he said, yeah, you do know Bird, you know? And I said, yeah, well, sort of. He said, do you know a Lester Young solo? I said, oh, no, I don't know a Prez solo. So then he gave me a Prez solo. Yeah. I think it was Lester Leaps In.
Yeah.
So that was my first lesson. So it was singing with the instrumentalists, which I'd already been doing. He told me to listen to Billie Holiday, but not to sing like her, but to get inspired from her emotion, you know, which I always have been inspired by Billie and the way she approached tunes. I never realized how much she improvised until I got the original music and heard it, and I said, oh, my God, this woman is fantastic. Her improvising was, you thought that's the way the tune was written.
Oh, yeah, I love your song, The Lady. It was just you and bass, you and
Arold Anderson.
Arold Anderson,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
That's brave, getting up there with just voice and bass.
Oh, I started doing that all the way back in the 1950. The first time I ever performed a tune out in a club was I was in Toledo and Mingus asked me to sit in. And I said, oh, yeah, but you don't have a piano. He said, yeah, but you don't seem to worry about that when you're up at Lenny's, because a lot of times I'd sit in with Peter Ind at Lenny's at the sessions they'd have after our lessons with Lenny.
Well, yeah, so at these Lenny sessions, these Lenny Tristano sessions, would he have a whole band playing or just
all
just
of his students.
Ah.
Yes, and then Max and Mingus would come up sometimes also.
Man, you were right in the middle of it, weren't you?
Yeah, but I didn't realize it at the time.
Wow.
But that's where I learned a lot of standard tunes, like, studying with Lenny.
Like they'd get up and they'd do The Touch of Your Lips.
Yes.
And you'd hear it and you'd say, well, I bet I could sing that.
It took a few years.
Yeah?
I'll sing it now, though.
Oh, okay. Will you? Please.
With Steve Kuhn, yeah.
I would love to hear you do it.
Well, we're all yours, my dear. When troubles get me and cares beset me and will not let me go, I turn to you for consolation. There I find new peace of mind to leave behind my woe. I turn to you as I shall always do. The touch of your lips upon my brow, your lips that are cool and sweet, such tenderness lies in your soft caress, my heart forgets to beat. The touch of your hand upon my head, the light in your eyes, a shine. And all at once, this moment divine, the touch of your lips on my
On my brow, your lips that are cool and sweet, such gentleness lies in your soft caress. My heart forgets to beat. The touch of your hand upon my head, the light in your eyes shine, and all at once, this moment divine, the touch of your lips on mine.
That was terrific, Sheila. It was wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Well, there's more coming up with Sheila Jordan and her pianist today, Steve Kuhn. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm John Weber, sitting in for Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Well, Sheila, in addition to getting the attention of Lenny Tristano and just hanging out with tons of great musicians, legendary musicians over at his place, you are an artist of great interest to other music theoreticians, such as George Russell, and who wrote, was it the Lydian chromatic concept of tonal organization, which sounds harder than it is. I mean, it became the launching pad for a lot of the harmonic conceptualization for great friends of yours like Miles Davis and Eric Dolphy, of course, and Bill Evans and and John Coltrane, many others. But this intellectual heavyweight in the music theory world, George Russell, wasn't known for using female jazz vocals in his research or in his composing. However, he found you somehow. Tell me about what happened when George Russell called you one day.
He got me my recording on Blue Note. He paid for a tape for me, and he took it to Alfred Lyons and Francis Wolfe, and they signed me for one recording. And I was the first woman leader, I think, except maybe there was Dorothy Ashby. But I was the first woman singer, and I was white. It was fantastic. And George said, I would like you to do this with guitar. And Steve Swallow was on that date. He was still playing a upright bass. And
Barry Galbraith, I think.
Of course. Yeah. Barry Galbraith on guitar, who was wonderful.
Denzel Best.
And Denzel Best on drums. You know more than I do, John.
I love that album. That album. You know how you sound? You sound so loose and so spontaneous, rhythmically, melodically, everything. I can see why Alfred Lyons obviously loved what he heard in you. Portrait of Sheila.
Yeah, and a thing I recorded on that was Dat Dare. I did that for my daughter, who was always asking questions, and she was quite young at the time. So this was in 62, I believe. So, again, Bobby Timmons' music and Oscar Brown Jr.'s lyrics, and I did the mother version. I changed it a little bit.
Will you do that for me?
Sure.
I would love to hear you do it.
All right. Thanks. I would love to. Hey mama, what a dare, and what that over there, and oh mama, oh hey mama, can I go under there? Hey, what they saying there, and what they doing there, and mama, can I have that big elephant over there? Ooh, that in my chair, hey, what she doing there, and oh mama, oh hey mama, can I go under there? Hey mama, where's the square and where do we get air? And mama, can I have that big elephant over there? My quizzical kid, she doesn't want anything hid. She's forever demanding to know who, what, and why, and where. Inquisitive child, sometimes the questions get wild. Like mama, can I have that big elephant over there? I don't wanna comb my hair. Hey, where my teddy bear? And oh mama, oh hey, look at that cowboy coming there. Hey, can I have a pair of boots like that to wear? And mama, can I have that big elephant over there? The time will march, the years will go. My little lady's gonna grow. I gotta tell her all she needs to know. Help her with love so she'll know right from wrong. Gotta make her strong. As life's parade goes trudging by, she'll need to know some reasons why. I don't have all the answers, but I'll try best as I can. Gotta help her to plan so she'll make her stand. You give your kids the best, and you'll hope they'll pass the test when you finally send them out into this kooky world somewhere. Although she's grown, I'm betting I never am forgetting. Mama, can I have that big elephant over there? Hey, what they doing there? And what they singing there? And oh, mama, oh, hey, mama, hey, how you work to dare? Hey mama, what is fair? How come I gotta share? And mama, can I have that big elephant over there? Yeah mama, can I have that big elephant over there? Yeah mama, can I have that big elephant over there?
Sheila, that was masterfully done, Dat Dare.
You are so kind, John.
Well, voice is a hard instrument. I mean, it's one thing to play that on a tenor sax, which, yeah. You know, but you handle it with great skill, and you, I mean, you even say that you've said that you've never sought out to be a jazz singer.
I never sought out to be a singer, period.
But you're such a superb, natural vocal improviser. There's just this natural inventive quality that I hear in your vocalizing when you're singing on Dat Dare, or you're singing on just scatting when you're playing with Steve, or you're playing with just bass. And I mean, there's things that you grasp, like Mark Murphy, for example. Also seems to understand this risky sort of wonderfully sincere, spontaneous, you know, childlike, wild abandon. I mean, the song is like childlike, and it's almost like you have to become like a big overgrown kid. And when you're on a stand, I never know what you're going to do next, which is exciting. But when you solo or you're listening, and I've seen when you're doing when the other instrumentalists are taken off and you're watching them, I can tell that the blueprint of the song is always clear to you. You always remember, no matter how far out they're taking it rhythmically or harmonically, you're always very aware of where you are. And
I'm listening, that's why. And there's a lot of wonderful singers out there. But a lot of the instrumentalists, you know, did sing. I mean, for example, Kenny Dorham was a wonderful singer.
Really?
He put out a recording, and somebody gave me a CD of his. He wrote this beautiful song, Fair Weather, which I love doing. And it's about, you know, it's about what's happening today. And Kenny recorded this live recording in this woman's house in Norway, Randi Holtin, who always had all of the musicians over, and she would tape them, you know. And I heard Kenny Dorham sing Fair Weather. And when she wrote her book, she put a CD in there of all the people who had played or sang in her apartment, and this is on that, Kenny Dorham. Great singer and great tune, great composition.
I want to hear you sing Fair Weather. Let's hear
that. Yes, Kenny Dorham's Fair Weather.
When we walk side by side, like brothers, oh glory, we'll stand up and whirl, and Gabriel will blow as he never has blown before. There'd be fair weather together, side by side, it would never end, hate would die, love would win, go forth. Hero, peace on earth and goodwill to all who make it so grand and so real. Plant seeds of kind deeds like the treason of cause, love will grow. Money doesn't fit into the scheme of things. How can a house be built on angel wings? Fair weather together, fair weather, my friend. Thank you. goodwill to all who make it divine and so real. Plant seeds of kind deeds, like the treason, of course. Love will grow. Money doesn't fit into the scheme of things. How can a house be built on angel wings? Fair weather together. Farewell, my friend.
Sheila, that was an absolutely glorious version of Fair Weather. I love how you sing that.
Thank you so much, John. That means a lot to me.
Well, I'm having a great time with Sheila Jordan and pianist Steve Kuhn. You can find artist information, set lists, and more on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. I'm John Weber, in for Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. You write some great lyrics, and I know that you certainly interpret other singers' lyrics. Like Abby Lincoln had a wonderful song about Bird Alone.
Yes.
The line about turning corners and tempting fate, which is the story of your life, as far as I can tell.
Incredible lyrics.
And do you still perform?
Absolutely. I'll do it now for you.
Will you do it now?
Yes.
I would love to hear you. I want to hear you sing Bird Alone.
I would love to do Bird Alone by Abby Lincoln. Flying high, flying through a cloudless sky, sending soulful, mournful sounds, flying over troubled ground. Bird alone with no mate, turning corners, tempting fate, flying circles in the air. Are you on your way somewhere, gliding, soaring on the wind? You're a sight of glory, flying way up there, so high. I wonder your story. Bird alone, flying low over where the grasses grow, swinging low
and out of sight, you'll be singing in the
Well, that was great, Sheila. Thanks. That was a beautiful version.
My pleasure.
I love it. I love
it. Thank Abby Lincoln.
I know. That was such a nice tribute to Bird, your friend, your longtime friend, the guy who you came up and admired from a distance, and then he actually let you sit on stage. You knew him. I mean, how many people, how many jazzers around can say, I knew Bird?
I had a couch in my loft because he was always coming up to my loft on 26th Street right off 8th Avenue. And he'd come up at all hours, you know, and I'd say, there's your bed. I called it Bird's bed. So we had some wonderful times together.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time with Bird in the last years of his life.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, when he reached out to you and kind of lifted you up when you were just starting out, I mean, everything comes full circle.
Yes.
And as I admire your MySpace and Facebook pages, I see thousands of young admirers from all over the planet who are following everything. Like, they go to see you live, and then they're like, hey, Sheila, and they want to know all about what you're doing, your newest thing. And maybe for the same reasons that you once sought out Charlie Parker, they're seeking out you because they want to glean some of your wisdom and some of your great musicianship. I mean, it must be immensely gratifying to see and hear so many young musicians who just want to hang out with you and just like learn from you and just to see how you do what you do.
Well, it's just great. You know, I just feel that I'm a messenger of the music. That's what this is my calling, to keep this music alive. So I feel like the messenger.
Well, I think that just hearing from some of these young people is a confirmation of the fact that you are the messenger for them, and you are somebody important. In fact, do you do confirmation?
Of course.
I want to hear.
Skeeter, Spite, and Leroy Mitchell and me.
This is
their lyrics.
One of your early greatest hits.
Well, I don't know about hits, but...
Would you do that for me?
Absolutely.
Confirmation.
Yes, for Bird and you. Casting a line to you.
were shining bright just one night. The time I first saw you, you set my soul on fire. My hopes were higher, for I had you, and you had me too. Oh, babe, let's put our past behind us and live now. I know we can be happy, dear, because I love you. Can live without you, the future stands a reason I know. At first it was a game, dear, to ease the hurt and pain, dear, until the pool got too deep. I started to swirl and circle while you stood there just to smile in your eyes. It's a thing that drowned me, and so I have to confess. I love you and I want you, so baby, think it over, over. You are so terrific, I gotta be specific. Oh, baby, think daddle ya battle ba diddle ya daddle 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 ba da 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 da. I first saw you, you set my soul on fire. My hopes were higher, for I had you, and you had me too. Oh, babe, let's put our past behind us and live now. I know we can be happy, dear, because I love you. Can live without you, the future stands a reason I know. At first it was a game, dear, to ease the hurt and pain, dear, until the pool got too deep. Oh yes, I was falling, I started to swirl and circle while you stood there just to smile in your eyes. It's a thing that drowned me, and so I have to confess. I love you and I want you, so baby, think it over, over. You are so terrific, I gotta be specific. Oh baby, think, cause I'm sailing my dream boat to you.
Sheila, that was amazing.
Thank you.
That swung Steve, fantastic, man. Great solo, great everything. God, loving every minute of this. Well, there's more music in just a minute with Sheila Jordan and her pianist Steve Kuhn. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm John Weber, guest hosting for Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz. Hey, you guys want to do another tune?
Yeah, we'll do Steve Kuhn's composition, The Zoo.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, we recorded that on ECM years ago.
Yeah, so. great music, great words.
And there'll be a surprise on this one.
Ah, let's have at it.
A lovely surprise.
Uh-oh.
Send $20 to me so I can be free. to see how birds eat their food in the trees. Ham, how I love to eat ham. Vultures don't give a damn. Meat, monkeys eat with their feet. So when I'm alone, left with only a bone on top of the sky, birds are wondering why. A surprise, so here it is. Steve Kim singing his composition, The Zoo, just for you.
Send $20 to me so I can be free to see how birds eat their food in the trees. Ham, how I love to eat ham. Vultures don't give a damn. Meat, monkeys eat with their feet. So when I'm alone, left with only a bone on top of the sky, birds are wondering why. And so am I. Thank you.
E minor 13, my favorite chord. Way to end a great version of the Zoo.
That's cute.
You sang great on that.
Oh, he sang great.
He sang great. He's going to get some singing gigs. Watch. Watch what happens.
You think so?
Oh, my God.
That'd be great.
Well, you know, I guess all good things must come to an end. I think I think we probably should go full circle and wind up with the blues again, because I think you've written a blues or two in your day.
Yes, I have. I wrote Sheila's Blues. That's a blues about me, where I grew up, and Bird, and different people in my life, or how I'm feeling at the time, you know. The reason I did that is because a lot of concerts and a lot of clubs, people would say, oh, where do you come from? And where'd you grow up? And what got you into this music? And a friend of mine, Ken Linden, suggested, why don't you sing about it? And then I think Harvey S. also said, why don't you sing about it? So when we had the group together with Steve Kuhn and Bob Moses and Harvey S., I just tried it out and it worked.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
Well, let's do Sheila's Blues.
Are you going to play for me, John Weber?
I'm going to play. What key? I'll do it in any key you want.
I'm going to surprise you.
Okay,
how about G?
G it is.
No, F.
F it is.
Make it F.
No problem.
Make it F. That's a nice key. Well, I was born in Detroit, Michigan, back in 1928. Yeah. Born in Detroit, Michigan, November the 18th, 1928, Mickey Mouse's birthday. But my mother was barely 17 years old and she couldn't raise me, so she sent me to live with my grandparents in a small coal mining town in Pennsylvania State. Grew up with a coal miner singing in the beer garden every Saturday night. The miners used to sit around and drink their beer and whiskey and sing their songs. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Rally, 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 rally. Never fight. Moved back to Detroit when I was about 14, hanging down at the Club Sudan. Well, that was everybody's scene. You didn't have to be 21 years old to get in there. It was just a place for kids to play and sing. Well, me and Barry Harris and Tommy Flanagan and Kenny Burrell, well, we were always chasing the bird. I think he wrote that song for us. Chasing the bird, chasing the bird, chasing the bird. When he used to play at the Club Sudan and the Club Elsino, we tried everything in the world to get in there, but the Club Elsino, you had to be 21 years old. So I forged my mother's birth certificate, wore a hat with a veil and high-heeled shoes that were killing my feet. I was gonna get in the door to hear the bird, but the man said, hey, little girl, go home and do your homework. So we went round in the alley, sitting on the garbage cans. Bird knew we were there and he opened up the door and he played his heart out for me. Oh, what a treat. For jazz music, I wouldn't be alive today, oh no. If it wasn't for jazz music,
I wouldn't be alive today. Because back when I was just a skinny little teenager by the nickname of Jeannie Dawson, running down on John R. to buy all those 78 records so I could hear all those bebop musicians, I want to thank Marion McPartland before I close this song out, because she's such a wonderful lady and musician. This is for you, Marion. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I wouldn't be up here at 80 years old singing for you with John Weber playing the blues and Steve Kuhn playing all the other tunes today.
Sheila, I can't even believe this hour went by so fast. I love everything you're doing. You're an extraordinary lady. You're a genius. I'm so thrilled to be able to play with you. Thank you for being on Piano Jazz.
I can't tell you what a pleasure and what a joy and what an honor it is.
You've been listening to Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz with guest host John Weber and guest Sheila Jordan. Join us each week at this time as Piano Jazz brings you other outstanding artists for conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer, Duke Marcos. Assistant recording engineer, Tyler Hartman. Mastering engineer, David Mitchell. Engineering assistant, Dale Anderson. Production coordinator, Grant Jackson. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1101 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To find out more about the artists and music selections on Piano Jazz, visit our website at pianojazz.npr.org. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.